glory to God. I've already begun a bit of declaration. I am not the same man I was 2 months ago. If you don't like warriors, you won't like me. I am an experienced warrior at a whole new level. And I'm not bragging on me. I'm talking about things God has done in me. And I am an experienced combatant. Some people don't like soldiers. You can see some of this in our men and women that come back from overseas. If they've been in combat, almost any of them that have seen combat, they're not the same as when they went. When they come back, they're different. And many of them struggle with some things because of what they've been through. I have been through some things, and I've won some battles. Amen. We're not finished. Amen. We're not finished, but I've won some battles. Amen. I know intimately the tactics and the ways and the weaknesses of our enemy.
Yes.
I know how to defeat him.
I know that's right.
Amen.
And I know how to defeat him when he's at his worst. Yes. I tell you, I think it would have been easier for me to face my own death than to face Pastor Sandy's.
Amen. Oh, yes.
I think that would have been easier.
Yes.
I'll tell you this, I've never felt the anointing so powerful and so strong and with such authority ever before as I do standing here in my domain that God gave to me. I know when I speak, it will be, what does the scripture say, as the oracles of God. It'll be as Jesus speaking himself. I know how to do battle and win. I know there's a ways to go. There's more to win. But I know how to win. And so, folks, I'm just telling you, God's called you to this church. Strap on your seatbelt and buckle in. We're going for a ride. And I will teach you what I know. And it's not theoretical with me. It's as real as it gets. So I invite you to come up higher, to awaken also. Amen. And to face battle, and to do battle, and to win. Many believers have retreated from the battlefield. I'll say this, in the culture of Christians today in the United States of America, most are retreating from the battle because it's easier to not fight. It's easier to not fight. For me, I found the alternative would be the rest of my life without my sweetheart. I wasn't willing to do it. And so something I pray very often with the Lord, wake up and say, Lord, what do I need to learn today? Lord, what do I need to say today?
Amen, amen.
Y'all should be writing this down. What do I need to learn today? What do I need to say today? What do I need to do today? And he gives me. He has taught me. David declared, you teach my hands to make war.
Yes.
You recall David saying that?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You teach my hands. The Lord has taught me to be a warrior. And the thing about it, Jesus, again and again, you see in the scriptures, was moved with compassion and he healed the sick. Jesus is as tough as they come. Jesus is a warrior. He's the captain of the hosts of the armies of God. Amen. And I've grown to be one of his commanders, if you'll permit me to say something so bold. But to be a warrior and to be brutal in battle doesn't mean you're not compassionate. I have a new compassion that I did not have before, having walked this walk that I have and am walking. What do I need to learn today? And almost every day there's been something. What do I need to say today? Because you know you release faith and power with words from your mouth. And what do I need to do today? Every day, or practically every day, it has been those three. What do I need to learn today? What do I need to say today? And what do I need to do today? Because the Lord teaches you how to win.
Yeah. That's good.
He'll teach you. Remember, thanks be unto God who always, leads us or causes, whichever version of the scripture. I think leads is probably a little better, because when you say causes, it's as if he'll do all the work. He does not. He does not. He leads you in how to win. If you get your heart and you're thinking in the right place, he'll teach you how to win, and you'll win, and you'll win quickly.
Amen.
And of course, keep in mind, many things are battle after battle. They're won over time. They're not just one great fight. I'm going to begin to teach something today. The Lord gave me a starting point. I had trouble making some sort of an outline today because, like, Lord, I need you just to give the people a good spiritual meal today, and don't let me pour out everything all at once. I think I could choke a few. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. But get yourself ready. The babes and the inexperienced need spiritual milk, but there is meat available.
Hallelujah.
And we're going to begin going to solid food, which is for the, scripture says in Hebrews, the exercised or the mature.
That's right. Amen.
Many pastors that have been here recently in my place have said, your congregation's well taught.
That's
good.
Right.
I'm going to believe that that's true.
Amen.
And that you're ready to grow.
That's right.
Amen. And I'll tell you something else as well. This is strong in my heart. It's time to start pressing your invitations to bring others. Because there is going to be real spiritual food in this house. And it's going to be life-giving, life-changing food. Manna from heaven. Jesus is the manna from heaven. He said he is the bread of life. And I'm going to be serving up some bread.
Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. So I'm not the same guy. I am a warrior, experienced in combat, and I invite you to join the ranks and see things that have been troublesome to your life, see how to defeat it and win. Amen. I'd like you to turn your Bibles to where the Lord's given me a starting point. I'll be kind and compassionate, but I'll also be sensitive to the Spirit of God, and I'll be done when he says I'm done. Luke chapter 6 and verse 43. If you like titles, I'm not sure I have one for this today, but maybe it's this, Dig Deep. And maybe that's brief enough, you might remember it. But we're going to start ahead of some scripture that I'm going to really teach from, because when Jesus spoke, it flowed all together, and he didn't change subjects every two or three verses. And we put chapter and verse there so you can find a thing and share it with one another. Jesus spoke in a flow. And so sometimes to understand some verses, you have to see what's before it, see that it doesn't change subjects, and it all goes together. So we're going to start here at verse 43, and it says, "For a good tree does not bear bad fruit, nor does a bad tree bear good fruit." All right, let's stop there for a second. Obviously, we'll see in a moment. Jesus, when he mentions trees, he's talking about people. So we're compared to trees, and we produce a fruit in our life. Some people good fruit, some people bad fruit, right? So again here, a good tree does not bear bad fruit, nor does a bad tree bear good fruit. For every tree is known by its own fruit. Parents love to say, oh, but he's a good kid. Yeah, but look at the fruit that's coming right now. There's something that needs attention here, right? For men do not gather figs from thorns, nor do they gather grapes from a bramble bush. And then now here you see the connection. He's talking about men. A good man, out of the good treasure of his heart, brings forth good. And an evil man, out of the evil treasure of his heart, brings forth evil. For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So now we've got a little bit to work on here. We see we're talking about people, and we see that the fruit that comes out of someone is the result of the treasure that's in them. You can see that clearly because Jesus says, for out of the abundance of the heart, which is where the treasure is, the mouth speaks. The words that come out of our mouth is part of our fruit. You can say good words, you can say evil words. You can say loving words, you can say unkind and even hateful words as part of your fruit. Where does the fruit come from? It comes from the heart, and it comes from the treasure that's in that heart. When all guardedness is down in someone, usually when we talk to one another, we're a little bit guarded. We don't say everything we think. We don't say everything we feel. We don't say everything that's in us. Sometimes somebody pushes your buttons, you get angry, the guard comes down, and you say what's there, and you shouldn't, right? Some are not so good at expressing love to somebody, and we don't say, I love you, when we know I probably should have. Sometimes even we live whole lives and haven't told somebody, I love you. There are those of you in this room, probably you grew up and your parents never said, I love you. You kind of maybe sort of figured they did, but they never said it. What is that guard? And if it was there, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth should speak. And one of the things that will happen when life really takes a turn on you, you may not get an opportunity to say something that you should have. Right. And remorse and regret will beat you up if there's somebody that you didn't tell them, I love you. And when this happened with Sandy, one of the things I did is I reviewed our day. Mm-hmm. And I was happy to say, she and I over the last weeks and months have been in a beautiful place where there's been an expression of our hearts and a tenderness and a oneness and a pursuit of things together in God. And I have had no regrets. Amen. So out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Out of the treasure that's in you. Well, what treasure is in you? Now let's go on here. I read that to get to this. Verse 46, but why do you call me Lord, Lord, and not do the things which I say? And let's just pause there a second. Throughout the history of the church, I guess throughout the history of man, really, there are people who have said, Lord, Lord, Jesus, I love you, you're my Lord. And didn't Jesus declare, if you love me, you will keep my commandments? Did he not say that? Now, the love of God for us is without condition. He loves us unconditionally, whether we love him or not. But our own thoughts concerning where we're at in our love toward him, we can be deceived. We can put up a mask and pretend. And we can get so good at it that we're quite capable of deceiving and pretending to ourselves. And we can be, Lord, Lord. When the truth is, as the Lord would say, okay, you call me Lord. Why don't you do what I'm leading you to do? Why don't you do what I ask you to do? If I was Lord, which means master and Lord, why don't you obey? Why are you struggling with this or with that? Why don't you lay that at the altar and give that up and follow me? How did Jesus say it? Take up your cross daily, some translations say, and follow me. So there are people who say, Lord, Lord, but they're not where they should be. Reading on. I told you, strap your seatbelt down. Hang on. Okay? Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and not do the things which I say? Whoever comes to me, next verse, whoever comes to me and hears my sayings and does them, I will show you what he is like. He is like a man building a house who dug deep. I told you, title, dig deep. A man who dug deep and laid the foundation on the rock. And we know Jesus is called the chief cornerstone. One of the manifestations of Jesus before he came in a flesh body, in the New Testament it tells us that when Israel was wandering in the wilderness, it tells us that a rock followed them. Now, you know there was a pillar of fire by night that protected them and led them, pillar of cloud by day. In other words, they were there in a climate where nighttime's very cold, daytime's very hot, in the desert climate. And so he's a pillar by fire, of fire by night. He's warming them. In the daytime, he's a cloud. He's shading them. Right? That's a manifestation of God. Well, it says that there was a rock that followed them who is Christ. And they drank, they all drank from that rock. This was the rock that first Moses struck it and the water gushed forth and watered 2 million people and all of their livestock. That later Moses was told to speak to the rock and it brought forth water. Their water supply followed them. It's the rock, Jesus. Jesus is the rock. Jesus is the rock. So, there's a man dug deep and laid the foundation on the rock. Now, keep in mind, we're talking about treasure in a heart. These are connected. Jesus didn't change subjects. And so it says, this man is who digs deep, lays the foundation on a rock. And when the flood arose, the stream beat vehemently against that house and could not shake it, for it was founded on the rock. Let's go ahead. Verse 49. But he who heard and did nothing is like a man who built a house on the earth without a foundation, against which the stream beat vehemently, and immediately it fell. And the ruin of that house was great. Remember the treasure in the heart and speaking out of the abundance of the heart. Where do you get treasure? Treasure is taking the words of Jesus, the Word of God, He is the Word, and digging deep into it and taking that Word and building your house on Jesus, building your life on Jesus, on a foundation, on the rock, on the bedrock. If you will build your house on Jesus, if you will build your life on the rock, on His words, and He said here that this man not only hears them, but does them. Truth is we only have as much word as we do. Amen. Not as much word as we can recall. Or we heard the preacher say, it's what we have laid as a foundation, digging deep, where it's a treasure in our heart. Amen. When they brought my wife out of the room where they had just done a scan from top to bottom, they came in the room with her, wheeled in. She's unconscious. They had already intubated her. I found out later she stopped breathing. When they wheeled her in and I saw their faces, and one of them said to me, the senior doctor there, she's had a brain bleed. We've called for medevac. They'll be taking her downtown Fort Worth. I looked in their faces and they were one by one sort of saying, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. And I'm kind of left to read between the lines. What does that mean? Did she pass away? Well, they wouldn't call for a medevac if she passed away, I don't think. But I didn't hear clear and paddles going and CPR and all that. But I knew from looking at their faces and what they were saying, I am in it. Someday I may do a message that says something to the effect, you have 3 minutes. I think that's about what it takes somebody without breath to begin that process of death. You have 3 minutes. And I got to thinking, it didn't take 3 minutes for me to feel something when I saw that. It took 3 seconds. So the message is probably, you have 3 seconds to answer. You have 3 seconds to answer. And in 3 seconds, you're going to go to your heart. And there's either going to be a treasure there that's good, or there's a treasure there that's useless in a scenario like this. with all the compassion I can muster for you right now, I ask you, if you had to give an answer in 3 seconds, could you do it? What would your answer be? You've heard me mention some scriptures, but do you own those scriptures? Are those a foundation that is deep, built on the rock? Is that what's in you? Because if it's not there, your life may depend on it. Or worse than that, someone you love that you would give your life for may depend on your answer. You'll notice here the wise builder, the foolish builder, the storm came to both of them. The same storm. And that maybe is a subject for another day. Wait a minute, I thought we would, as believers, be protected from everything. Can anybody testify some tests have come to your life? Yeah? Now, are we at fault in some times, in some cases, in some places? We've done some foolish things, and the answer is yes. Thank God for His mercy. Thank God for His mercy. Because there's no one in the house here who hasn't blown it. It hasn't messed up. Amen. And you cannot go to God and say, God, I deserve. You've heard me say this before. I'll tell you what you deserve. You deserve a spot in hell. That's what you deserve. That's what I deserve. That's what we deserve. So we're not talking about what we deserve. We're talking about mercy of God to reach me where I am and accept me and love me as a sinner, and to call on the name of the Lord to be saved and to be washed in that blood and to be changed and set free and to be born again. Amen. What would you do if you had 3 seconds to save someone's life? I didn't volunteer for it, but there I was. Oh, I cannot tell you how strong it was in me to deny and say, I'm dreaming, this is not real. Oh, how strong to say, this can't be happening. Oh, how much. I went out, wheeler right back in there and take another picture because that's not right. And yet, I realize it's real, it's now, and you better answer. And thank God, she and I for many years now have been digging and dug deep. Could we have done more? I'm sure we could have. Could we have built even better foundations? Yes, absolutely. And by the way, this is my spouse we're talking about. Some husbands are, oh, well, she's kind of the spiritual one in the house. Do you realize your wife could die that way because you don't have what it takes to answer in 3 seconds when it's necessary? If I could have traded places with her, I would have. At that moment, if I could have given all the wealth I've ever had, ever could dream to have, Lord, if you would have promised me $100 million, I would have said immediately, can I trade it in for her to be what she was a few hours ago? That was not possible. It came down to what do I have in me? She can't speak, and now I have to answer for her. Anybody ever feel fear? That's pretty real, isn't it? Your whole body reacts to it, doesn't it? Your mind just goes crazy on you. I have never known fear like I did that moment. I've heard Brother Hagin in person talk about this, and Dr. Dufresne, same thing. He probably heard Brother Hagin talk about it, and I felt it myself. They would say that you feel fear start at the floor, start coming up your leg. And I quite literally could tell you where it's at and feel it coming up. I could feel it hit my stomach. You know how your stomach just knots up on you? Your brain starts going crazy, and it comes up. I feel it come to my heart, and I start going, uh-oh, I know I've got to do something here. I know I've got to do something here, and I felt it come up as high as my voice, and I realized it's right now, or I'm in deep trouble. It's right now or I'm losing it. Fear has gotten as far as my vocal cords. Anybody in here ever said something out of fear? That's a pivotal point. And I knew, don't you dare say something in fear. Don't you dare. And I rebuked fear. I said, no, you don't. No, you don't. Because that's how Brother Hagin would say it. No, you don't, fear. No, you don't. No, you don't. No, you don't. And as I would say that, it would retreat down, come back, retreat down. No, you don't. No, you don't. And I knew it was time to answer. And what I'm taking a few minutes to explain to you was all just like that. Quick, quick, quick. And I reached down in the treasure. If you've been around a while, you've heard me teach how the Lord taught me concerning, I had no heart problems, but a cousin who passed away at my age. Lord, should I be checking out some things and so on? And how he told me, well, you can go that route if you want to. Get a stress test, you know, find out all the diet things you're supposed to do and so on, all that kind of stuff, and get to where I start really focusing on my heart health and all that. Because in the family, you know, had this cousin pass away, and fear comes on you for that, you know. And they're starting to tell you it's a lot less about diet, and it's mostly about family history on some of these things, you know. So I'm before the Lord. Lord, do I? And he told me, you can go that route if you want. So when he said that to me, I knew there was another route. Well, I'm thinking to myself, all kinds of diet change? No, I'm going to eat V's barbecue and enjoy it. Yeah. So the Lord said, you can go that route if you want to. So I know there's another route. I said, well, what should I do? He said, every time you think of your health, every time, you just say, with long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. That's the 91st Psalm, verse 16, the last one. He said, that's your medicine. That's your treatment. If you'll take it, it'll be so in your life. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. So I had been saying that a lot, meditating on that a lot in the last 2-3 years. So when I went to the treasure chest, guess what was there?
Long life.
Will I satisfy him and show him my salvation? Mm-hmm. And so I spoke out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Mm-hmm. I spoke, and it was treasure, and it was mine. It was real. It was part of my foundation where I dug deep and put that there.
That's good.
And the moment I say that, I said, Lord, now I'm not talking just about my life, her life. With long life, will you satisfy her? That means she ain't dying tonight. She's not dying tomorrow night. She's not dying the night after that. She's not dying anytime soon.
That's right.
But Lord, your word says not only with long life, it says I will satisfy him. And I said, I won't be satisfied going forward without her. She won't be satisfied cutting off early and missing her grandbabies. But it says I will satisfy him. And I said, I knew already, we're talking brain here. I saw her pass out. It's going to be a coma, the whole thing. Yeah. And I said, I'm not satisfied with her drooling for the next 30 years.
Amen.
Unable to move one side of her body or something like that. I'm not satisfied with her not able to speak. I'm not satisfied with her not being able to stand at this pulpit and teach and to minister. I'm not satisfied with anything less than it was a few moments ago. And you said you'd show me your salvation. Show me, God. Go ahead. Let her rip. Let's see it. Let's see your sozo, your salvation. You all know from that word, sozo, it is to be delivered, healed, prospered, nothing missing, nothing broken. The Hebrew part of it, shalom. Every part, the way it should be, nothing is wrong. That's his salvation. Now, she's born again. If she would have passed, she would be with Jesus and she'd be wonderful. It would be wonderful. God would grace me. I would recover and we would go forward. But it wouldn't satisfy me.
Right.
Especially if this is an attack of the enemy and she was unable to be defended sufficiently and taken out.
That's right.
So in my treasure, I brought forth out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. I spoke that. And I said, and Lord, you know me. John 10:10. Lord, the thief has showed up and he's stealing, he's destroying, and he's trying to kill. But Jesus, you undid him completely. You came, Lord, that she and I together would have life. Now that's Zoe. That word is Zoe. That is life as God experiences it. The God kind of life. The same life force that's in God, Jesus came that I could have, that she could have. Amen. Jesus, you came that we might have life and have it abundantly, superabundantly. Yes. I've looked at that again recently. The word for abundant there is compound word. I think I'm remembering this right. And part of it is where we get the word mega. It's root to the word mega. So Jesus came that we might have life and have it mega life.
Amen.
Yeah. Amen. Scriptures talk about if the thief is found out, he has to restore sevenfold.
That's right.
That sounds like mega life.
Yeah.
If found out, we found him out. We found him out. So I said, John 10:10. And then there were other scriptures. I didn't know the address of them at the time, but I said, and further, the psalmist declared, I will live and not die and declare the works of the Lord.
Yeah. Yeah. Come on.
I said, there's three answers right there. And I'll tell you, while waiting for that helicopter to arrive, and every time somebody, they ask me out of the room, they're prepping her, go on the helicopter ride and all that. Every time somebody would come out of there, you could see they were so distraught. So every person that I saw, I can read that body language. I can read that. And I went through that probably about every second and a half. Fear come up, say it again. Deal with that fear. No, you don't. 2 seconds, 3 seconds later, it comes up. Yes. Do it again.
Yes.
2 seconds later, it comes up. Do it again. Yes. The first night, of course, I did not sleep waiting in the emergency. Well, they moved her to the neuro ICU pretty quickly. And I just did not sleep at all that night. And they're scanning and doing their things and so on. But already one of the doctor showed me the first scan and said, see this and this and this. And he basically said, I'm so sorry, I'm so sorry. And he implied, medical people talk a certain way, and I started figuring it out. They won't tell you straight up. They'll imply, and if you can read between the lines, what he was communicating to me is she will not live through the night. And when she did, it was she will not make it 3 days. And when she did, he told me, if people make it through the first 3 days, usually complications set in, and those things will kill them.
And, really trying to make up something.
Yeah. What I'm trying to tell you is, it wasn't one and done.
No, that's awesome.
It was literally, in those first days and nights and weeks, it was moment by moment. Folks, if you have an occasion to have to fight the devil at a level like this, I know now what that's like. But it is moment by moment. And you get word out of your mouth and it has power against the enemy, and give it 10 seconds and he's back. He's a pest. He does not give up easily. He has studied mankind and he knows our weakness. And most of the time, people fall to it. And I'm talking about Christians. If I would have gotten that far, we would have weeks ago had a funeral, and we'd be carrying on as best we could. I couldn't give up on her.
That's right. That's right. That's
right. I couldn't let her go. Mostly because I knew that God had not appointed that time.
That's right.
That it was my decision to make whether I would fight it out, stand on the word, go through whatever I had to go through to get to the other side. I decided it was not going to be about me. It's going to be about her. And I'm going to fight. And I'm going to fight. And I did. And I'm in a better place now. But I'm still fighting. Thank God. And he had helped me. I had dug deep and laid a foundation. Thank God. What Jesus said is, I have heard his words. And I've done them. She was medically under the threat of death for 3.5 to 4 weeks. That's a long time to be under intense pressure. Some medical conditions, you know, in a day or two, you kind of turn the corner, you're good, and things start healing up. Brains are completely different from all the other organs in the body. If you've been poking into the loop on these things, you know, you've heard the term vasospasm some, which is basically blood is very dangerous to the body outside of the blood vessels. I didn't know that. But the lining of blood vessels and their strength to take blood pressure is different from the rest of the body. So an aneurysm, when it bursts, is a bleed, and it puts blood out where it's not supposed to be. And it's something that usually lasts seconds. It's a burst, a poof. Remember I said earlier in the service, she heard a pop. Thought in her neck, and that's what confused us, but it was up in her brain, it was up in her head. If they don't quit bleeding, you know, really quick, you basically drop dead and that's it. They said 70% of the people that have those bleeds never make it to the hospital. 90% of them don't survive. The remaining 10% have serious issues the rest of their life. So they basically left me zero. But that's another story. Handling the medical staff is a whole nother story. Thank God for the treasure that was in my heart that I could draw from again and again. And that threat was there every day, every hour of the day, every minute of every hour. And there were times literally when I would have to go for a walk and get a hold of myself again. All I can say is God is faithful. And if you're ever placed there, he will give you what you need. But the thing I'm trying to get across most of all today to you all is this. Be the wise builder. You don't know what tomorrow may bring. The wise builder and the foolish builder, both of them, they built their lives. One deep on a foundation on the rock, the other just built on earth. In other words, it's a way of saying just living in the world. And the implication is both, well, Jesus said so, both heard the word. Yes. So you could say at least both of them attended the teachings of Jesus. Both of them went to church. Yes. Both went to church. I would even go so far as to say this. Today, both could be born again Christians and believers. Mm-hmm. And some people get born again and just don't dig any deeper. Yes. Don't grow any further. And then a storm of life comes. A storm of life comes. And that's a whole other subject, and we'll talk about that sometime. I thought Jesus would prevent the storms of life. No, it's declared in 1 Corinthians, no temptation or test has overtaken you except such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able to bear, but with temptation will provide a way of escape. So things, serious things, come to our lives. And as I look around here, some of you have lived through some serious health threats. And some of you more than once. My daddy is one of them. If it makes it to your life, you already can handle it. There is already a way of escape. And let me promise you, you will feel so insufficient to it when it hits you. And one of my great concerns was, I know my wife will be in trouble if my faith fails. If I weary after a day, if I weary after 3 days, if I weary after a week. And don't you know, I wanted to ask God, how long? Yeah. And I knew, and eventually I did ask him, there are certain questions that I can ask you, like when and how. And he said, no, you cannot ask that question. Amen. He said, it'll harm your faith. Amen. To even ask the question, let alone dwell on it. Well, Lord, if I just know when, then I'll be able to last till then. He said, well, then it's not a walk of faith. It's just a countdown of days. He said, it is out of bounds to ask, why did this happen? At least for now. He said, it is out of bounds to ask, when will this or that happen, or when will she be better? He said, it's out of bounds. You won't be in faith. You won't walk in faith. And I found that what I had put in my treasure chest was available to keep coming out of my mouth. And when I passed that first 3 seconds, the first 3 minutes, the first 3 hours, the first night, the first 3 nights, and by the way, the battle seemed worst at night, laying in a bed, trying to sleep, when it's just me alone. I found that I could keep going to that treasure chest, and it was bottomless. It kept coming, and it kept coming. Now, I won't tell you that I didn't have to continue to fight fear. I did. There are many things I'm going to be able to teach you about fear. I'm going to be able to teach you some things about suffering, because I have never suffered in my life, ever, like I had those days. Scripture says concerning Jesus, he learned obedience by the things that he suffered. And the scriptures do talk about suffering in the life of the believer. There's a way to do it, and I can teach you how. And I can teach you how to overcome. Amen. And it's not theory with me. I know it. So, dig deep. I found that once I was in those treasures, he gave me day by day more treasure. In the last 2 months, I have lived in the presence of God by far more than ever before. Amen. I've had some great times, but much of the past weeks, I have been almost continuously aware of and in the presence of God. It's as close to me as inside me, an abiding presence. Even when I would talk with people, the Lord talking to me at the same time, it's going. He who abides in the secret place, the shadow under the wing of the Almighty, I know where that is. I live there. And I hope it never diminishes in me. Maybe that's up to me. But he taught me day by day, as I mentioned earlier, Lord, what do I need to learn today? And he would teach me something more and new. What do I need to say today? And he would tell me what to say that particular day. Sometimes I'd put that out to others. Here's what we're saying today. My kids, I'd let them know, and some others. You know, what do I need to do today? And there'd be certain things he would tell me, do this, don't do that. One of the things he told me is, don't tend to her 24/7 like you're on some kind of death watch. Don't hang on watching every moment, is she breathing? He told me, you go home, you rest. Later he ministered to me about angels that are with her, how he's fellowshipping with her. Later he ministered to me about how she's experiencing time compared to how we experience time. So many things he ministered to me. But I'm appealing to every one of you today, and anybody who else might hear, and a recording that'll be online later, I appeal to you today, dig deep. Literally, there are some of you in particular, I won't look at you, I won't go to you, all of that, but I want to shake you and say, do you realize what you're doing? Because I, as a pastor, a shepherd, I can see your health, and I know if this visited you, you don't have enough treasure. You haven't dug deep enough to lay the foundation. And I will help you all that I can, but we may be doing a funeral. So I'm appealing to you with all my heart. Start today, if you haven't already, start digging. Hear the words of Jesus and do them. Hear the words of Jesus and do them. Dig deep. Build a foundation. Now, he will show you particular verses that are yours. Just spouting off some verses doesn't do it. You need him to show you your verses. He showed me, with long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. And when this happened, it wasn't the first time I hauled out that verse and gave it a whirl. It was a constant for me. It would come often. And this is another thing I noticed. I'm not sure what the Lord said to Pastor Sandy about that same verse, but I started the last couple of months before this happened, I started hearing her say it too. I started hearing her say, with long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. So I knew it was her verse too. So I'm making an appeal to you. So I started my own house right here. Dig deep. Put that word in you. You faced it when Weston was born. It came down to you had seconds to answer. Jeremiah has seen a couple of in-air emergencies. The airplane engine quits when he's 10 feet above the ground. When he was spraying in the airplane one time. You better have something to answer with. So I'm saying, first in my house, get in the Bible, get in the Word, read His words, do them. Build that treasure. I have a habit every morning in the Word. Every morning in the Word. That's how you put that treasure in you. Read your Bible. Spend a little bit of time talking to the Lord. Put that treasure in you. Dig deep. Because when the storm comes, there's not time. And if you haven't done it, you will be, oh, I wish I would have. The story that Jesus told of the rich man and Lazarus. Remember, he said, I know what I'll do. I'll pull down my barns, build bigger barns, lay up goods. I have goods for many years, and I will say, eat, drink, and be merry. And then the story that Jesus told, he said, you fool, this night your soul will be required of you. So with all my heart, with everything in me, a shepherd, a pastor, a father, dig deep. Put that word in you. You don't know who's going to need you. Grandmothers, you can do this for your grandbabies. You may save a life and give that grandbaby a second chance to turn their life around. Grandmothers, parents, fathers, grandfathers. Amen. Let me close with this. Jeremiah 30, verse 16. And maybe some in here don't know this, but Pastor Sandy was alert for 3 hours after the aneurysm burst. And it took us too long to figure out the seriousness of it. They tell you the symptoms of a stroke, watch for this and get him to the hospital right away. Paralysis on one side, drooping, slurred speech, fogginess of mind, those kinds of things. But they never say, hear a popping sound. I've never heard that before. So we didn't recognize it. And she and I went through. Both sides work. Show me your face. Smile. Both sides worked. Just everything seemed to look at that as okay, except for the headache she had. It took a while to figure it out. In the meantime, she texted Dr. Kristen Temko, asking some questions. She texted our pastor, Pastor Scott Webb, and we were in Fort Worth for the minister's meetings. This happened just before we were leaving to go to the meeting, so we didn't go. And he is already in the meeting, and he took her text, and he answered her. And it turns out that not only was she texting and getting back and texting to Pastor Webb, Kristen, some others, Pastor Sally, he sent a scripture that came to him when she said, I'm having the headache worse than any I've ever had. Something's wrong. Pray for me. And Pastor Webb sent this to her. Verse 16, therefore all those who devour you shall be devoured. All your adversaries, every one of them, shall go into captivity. Those who plunder you shall become plunder. All who prey upon you, I will make a prey. And then verse 17, for I will restore health to you and heal you of your wounds, says the Lord. And we'll stop with that part of the verse. She texted back to Pastor Webb, agreed and declared. That's what he declared. That's the scripture he sent. And we have come to know this was the answer of the Lord before we knew what was happening. It's another thing I'm going to teach you at some point in time. The Lord always gives you the answer in advance of something happening. You might not spot it right away, but he always gives you the answer in advance. So there it was. And in verse 17 especially, I will restore health to you. That tells me it's not just she survives, but she's going to be fully what she was before and then some. I knew the will of God by what he said. Then it says, and heal you of your wounds. A brain aneurysm bursting is a wound. It's not a sickness. It's not a disease. It's a wound. It's a tearing of a blood vessel. Within minutes of being in the ICU, they're drilling holes in her head, putting in tubes to drain excess fluid, because the problem is pressure. Pressure, their term, strokes out the brain. That second night, as pressures climbed, I get a call in the middle of the night, a surgeon. We want to do but they took one-third of her skull off of her head, put it in the freezer. So we're back up. It gives the brain room to expand, relieves that pressure, more drains. She was a rare case. She had two drains coming out, skull removed. All of these things, including the surgical procedures, the next day, coiling. It's a cath procedure. They go into the vein through the leg, and the instrument goes all the way up into the brain. And then it has a little deal where it has a goes up inside the aneurysm and starts coiling stainless steel wire inside. An aneurysm looks like a balloon. All this wire unrolling inside. That's a surgical procedure. I guess you'd call it brain surgery. Then these vasospasms start developing. The only thing they can do about that is another cath procedure where they go all the way up and get to the blood vessels and release medicine that relaxes the blood vessels right there. And they said that's good for 24 to 48 hours. And so we would use up those 48 hours and they'd say, we got to take her again. And I kind of lost track of how many times she went for these procedures. All of it wounds. An arterial line in from here directly into her heart. A PICC line from here directly into her heart. More IVs than I could ever count. All of it wounds. And Pastor Webb pointed out, you see, the Lord gave you the scripture concerning wounds, not sickness. Wounds. Every bit of this is wounds. The answer comes even before the occasion to need it. So that's been the verse. 17 for Sandy. The Lord told me this some days later, actually some weeks later. 17, I will restore health to you and heal you of all your wounds. Why did Pastor Webb feel led to send verse 16 also? Go up a verse back to 16. All who devour you shall be devoured. This morning when I received offering, didn't we talk about the devourer being rebuked? This has to do with finances. Adversaries will go into captivity. Whatsoever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Those who plunder you, that is the taking of someone's goods. Those who plunder you shall be plundered. And all who prey upon you, I will make a prey, it says. So the Lord told me, verse 17 was for Sandy. Verse 16 is for you. As you know, these people don't do these things for free. They want money. And so as it started to develop as to things cost and the level of care and how long, you know, you're going to have to sell your house, you're going to be ruined, you'll file bankruptcy, you'll be destroyed, all of that. And the Lord said, no, 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 I'm a tither. The devourer has been rebuked.
Yes. Amen.
Amen. Amen. So this verse he gave, one for me, one for her. Amen. Amen. Your pastor's pleading with you. Dig deep.
Amen.
Put some treasure in your heart. And when the day of testing comes, and in different measures, they come.
Yeah.
You're in testing right now in some area of your life.
Yes.
Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. If you've been speaking worry, you've got to change that. If you've been speaking doubt, you've got to change that. If you've been speaking fear, you've got to change that and say that no more.
Amen.
If you have to borrow from me for right now, with long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. Borrow that from me until it's yours. It's your treasure in your heart. 3 John 2. Beloved, I wish above all things that you would prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. It's not enough to know that they're there in the Bible. They have to become yours, part of your treasures. Praise the Lord. I've done my part. Now it's up to you. Now it's your part. Stay seated right now unless you feel the Lord calling right now, a tug in your heart to respond affirmatively to these things. Ask for his help, but say, I'm going to dig deep. I'm going to make sure there's treasures in my heart. I'm willing to change. Some of us are building some things on the surface without foundation. That'll require repentance. That'll require change. You can't serve both. So if that's you, you want to affirm those things to the Lord, I won't ask you to come up here. Just stand where you are and you answer him. You're not answering me. You answer God. Lift a hand toward heaven and just tell him where you're at. Tell him how you respond. Tell him where you're at. There may be someone in here that's never been born again, never made Jesus Lord of your life. Right now, the call for you is to make that commitment. Right where you are, call on the Lord. Call on the Lord. Call on the Lord. The Lord may be speaking to some hearts. You need to change this. You need to change that. You need to repent here or somewhere else. And get that right. Do that. Now, there are others of us that are in pretty good shape. We've heeded the Lord. We have treasure in our hearts. But I tell you, there's more. There's so much more. There's not a great testimony without a great test, some people say. I didn't volunteer for this, yet the Lord has me growing so that there's greater fruit. Maybe you'd say it's the pruning that you would bear more fruit. You just answer him. You talk to him about that. Now, Father, you see every heart. You hear every voice. You hear every cry in this house and those that may be watching as well. This moment is real. This moment is deep. This moment is significant and important. And Father, I thank you for meeting every heart that's appealing to you right now, that's saying things to you right now, meeting them where they're at, and beginning that process of taking them further, helping them with more and more and more. Some of us have something coming up in our lives that we have no idea is coming. And if you'll prepare now, you'll come through victoriously. If you don't, like that house that had a great fall, you'll experience a fall. And there can be things that happen in the life of the believer that were not what God desired and not God's best. Prepare today. Today. Father, I thank you for all these things that you've done, that you have done, that you are doing. And we go forward from this moment as a stronger church, a stronger people, together pursuing the things of God. And we thank you for all of this. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Now go in that strength of that word and be blessed. Amen.